Today on episode number 463 of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements, we've got a last five and five. We have a Because of My Podcast story, both from across the pond. And I'm going to be asking you the question, are you ready to get punched in the face? And are you ready to earn some money with your podcast? We also have some fun facts about Spotify. And I want to talk about the lessons that we can learn from one of my inspirations, and that is, of course, David Letterman. Hit it, ladies.
The School of Podcasting with Dave Jackson.
Podcasting since 2005. I am your very own personal podcast coach, Dave Jackson. Thanking you so much for tuning in. If you're new to the show, we talk about all things podcasting, from planning to promoting to monetization. Basically, I help you massage your message. I help you tackle the technology. I help you flatten the learning curve and get you on the road to pain-free podcasting. Speaking of pain-free, I am so pumped up to be going to Podcast Movement. And just so you know, you can get the price right now is $397. That will be going up June 1st. Now, I can save you a little bit off that already low price. Use the coupon code SOP. Now, why am I excited about this? This is a course in July 31st through August 2nd in Fort Worth, Texas. A, I'm probably going to get to hang out with Aunt Betty because my Aunt Betty lives in Fort Worth. B, as the director of podcasting for the New Media Expo, I'm not working this one. I get to go hang out and have fun and just be a knowledge sponge and be a networking fool. And I get to hang out in with cool people like you. Really, really looking forward to that. And I believe as I speak here, I'm also going to be at Podcast Mid-Atlantic, or as I'm calling it, Podcast Jersey. Just got an email from Joe Pardo, and I'm hearing really good things about these one-day events. But here's the interesting thing. Glenn Beck, along with John Lee Dumas and Aisha Tyler and Lou Mangiello and Sarah Koenig and Pat Flynn and all these cool people, are going to be at Podcast Movement. And like when Glenn Beck was announced, people are like, well, I'm not going. I hate that guy. So, like, I don't know. Does this mean if you go to see, I don't know. I was going to go see Barry Manilow, but he's going to do the song Mandy. And I hate that song. That's known as a beer song. Why am I talking about Barry Manilow? You know, if you don't want to see Glenn Beck, then maybe, I don't know, don't go to that session. But here's the cool thing about this. What can we learn from Glenn Beck? And I know half of you are going, nothing. He's an idiot. Okay. How cool is it that you are so polarizing that people are like, I'm not going to that because they chose to send that demon. What? But how cool is it to be that polarizing? You don't get to that stature. I mean, here's a guy that's not trying to meet everybody in the middle. He's got his opinion and his style, and he is being him. We're going to talk about that today a little bit. But I did want to announce that. Really, really looking forward to. And again, that coupon code, just SOP, stands for School of Podcasting. But I always like to start off with some news. We'll be talking a little Spotify later. If you haven't heard, podcasting is coming to Spotify. But we have people from across the pond with a phenomenal Because of My Podcast story and a last five and five all rolled into one. And you know how I am. I love the accents. Take it away, Daniel.
Hi, Dave. It's Daniel Herrick here, the host of the Five Lights Formula One podcast all the way over in the UK.
Right.
Our podcast is really new. We've literally just recorded episode 15, and it's a show that I do with my younger brother all about, you guessed it, Formula One. It's available from our website, fivelightspodcast.com. I've got two things for you. I've got a Because of My Podcast I and a Last Five in Five.
Excellent.
So the Because of My Podcast I have been able to reconnect with my brothers. We all live in different areas of the country now, spread across the UK. And because of this podcast, we've been able to come back together. I present my podcast with my younger brother. So we do this twice a week. We get to talk about F1 and we get to talk a lot more than we did before. So usually where we couldn't find time to phone each other or text each other, now we have a regular meeting every week, at least twice a week.
That's cool. See, for me, here's the thing about he ain't heavy. He's my brother. There's something about a brother. If you are close with your brother, my brother, I love my brother to death. I am the baby of the family. He is the oldest. And there's only one other person on this planet that knows what it's like to have our sister as a sister and knows what it was like to have my dad as a dad and my mom as a mom. He's the only person that gets what it was like to be in my family. And there is, you know, blessed be the tie that binds, right? That's the, it's that, you know, when you share blood, it isn't always the case that you are closer. I realize there are those people that I haven't talked to my brother in years, but it is cool. And that warms my heart.
My older brother as well, who works in Formula One, we've been talking a lot more too. So it's brought all us brothers back together, like when we used to live under the same roof. So that's great. So not only am I enjoying the podcast and enjoying doing something I love, but I'm also been able to reconnect with my family a lot more.
The road is long with many a winding turn. Okay, I'm sorry.
My last five in five are the Flat Out Fever podcast, which is a Formula One podcast from three guys in Toronto, Canada. It's a long podcast, but it's really, really entertaining. Those guys really know how to talk about Formula One.
Now notice what he said. Really, really long, really, really entertaining. Valerie Geller said it. There is no such thing as too long, only too boring.
In a witty way, they're really good. And we've already guested on their podcast, so we're already making connections and
excellent
friends from across the world through our podcast, which I absolutely love. Another podcast is the On The Limit podcast, which is another Formula One podcast, which is done by three guys here in the UK. We're looking to get them on our show as well. So again, another load of friends we've made through podcasting. The UK Podcasters podcast, which I came to through your podcast. So it just gives me a perspective on what's happening in the UK.
Yeah, you got to do that. UKpodcasters.com. This is, of course, the conference put on by Mike and Isabella Russell. And that is definitely, you know, it, as much as, you know, there are always things going on over here in the States, when you can really connect with folks face to face, it's a whole different story. And of course, they're doing the New Media Europe conference, and you can find that over at newmediaeurope.com. That is the September 12th through the 13th in Manchester, and makes me really, really wish I had a passport and some free time. That's going to have Chris Ducker. I was just listening to Chris Ducker's presentation at New Media Expo, and that guy always brings his A game. His also, there will be Cliff Ravenscraft, my buddy. And for the record, if you have or have not listened to Cliff's latest show, his biological father passed away. So, Cliff, you're in my prayers. And if you get a chance, stop by his Facebook page and let him know you're thinking of him. And also, she's the suitcase entrepreneur, Natalie. I'm going to butcher your name. It's either Sisson or it's got to be Sisson. Wouldn't be Sisson, would it? I don't know. Anyway, hey, meanwhile, we're still listening to Daniel do his top five and five.
The Judge13.com F1 podcast, which is a funny F1 show, which is a really entertaining one, something a bit different.
Something a bit different, funny. I am noticing a pattern here. We're getting a lot of podcasts from a guy that does an F1 show about F1. Shocking.
The Around the NFL podcast, which is all about American football, a professional one produced by the NFL, really entertaining as well. Those guys on there know how to make me laugh. They really know what they're talking about as well, which is great.
If I didn't know any better, I would think Daniel likes to laugh.
My last one, of course, the School of Podcasting. This is the best show I listen to. I've literally only been listening to it a week, but I've been binge listening to everything you do.
Okay, I'm going to interrupt him again. I've said this. See, this is why I love this comment. And that's, I've been doing a lot of stuff with Clamor recently. That's clammr.com. And the things that I clamor are the things that I believe and the things that I've been saying. So it's kind of like, look, here's another piece of audio that proves I was right. And one of the things I always say, when your audience that you're trying to reach finds you, they go, oh my God. Yeah, they do. And they download everything you got to get. And here, Daniel is binge list. That's a lot of Dave, man. Wow.
week, but I've been binge listening to everything you do. I've learned so much in the past week that I didn't know about podcasting. It's enabled me to improve my website, to look at how we do our show, and me and my brother Ben are going to sit down and seriously talk about what we do content-wise to make the best podcast possible. It's made me more excited to do my show. You've inspired me. Please keep up the good work, and I love the show. Cheers, Dave.
Cheers, my friend. Yeah, that was Daniel Herrick. Find him at the number 5 lightspodcast.com. 5lightspodcast.com. Daniel, thank you so much for sharing that story. A lot of really cool things in that tidbit there of, you know, why he likes this show and why he likes those other shows. That's one of the reasons I like that. And if you're into Formula One, you're probably like, I didn't know about those shows. Really, really cool stuff. And the fact that he's getting quality family time with his brothers recording his show. That is so very cool. And we'll be talking about some of the things he mentioned there about standing out and doing things a little differently. He said that about the one. And he also said he didn't know what he didn't know. And that is something, I think I'll talk about this now. There are people whose name shall remain nameless, that tell you to use Feedburner, and they tell you to use, if you're using Libsyn, Libsyn, that's who you're listening to right now. This show is hosted on Libsyn.com. Get a free month using the coupon code SOPFREE when you sign up at Libsyn. And they've been saying, yeah, use Feedburner and don't put your podcast out as an episode on the Libsyn system. Use it as a download only. And I've been saying, that's a really bad idea. That's a really bad idea. And today, this week, I made $38 on a 15-minute coaching session helping somebody fix their show. And what was the problem? Yeah, you guessed it. Feedburner. Now, Feedburner was a great idea back in 2006. It's 2015, and it doesn't always update the way it should. And you can't send 4 million episodes to Feedburner because it chokes on it. If you want to move from Feedburner, hey, there's a tutorial on that at theschoolofpodcasting.com. Also, we'll be talking about Spotify, but if you did all your episodes as a file for download, one of the things that, if I understand this right, with Spotify is they're going to pull your episodes from Libsyn. And if you're not listing them as episodes, yeah, you're out of luck. So, you know, I always say now, it's kind of my job to know as much as I can about podcasting. I've been doing it for 10 years. And it is kind of a bummer when I find somebody who didn't know what they didn't know, and they just did a Google search and they found a post from 2008. So I can save you a lot of time and I can save you a lot of money. And if you're not sure how to do your show, I can help you with that. But keep in mind that it's your show. We'll talk about being unique today as well. And the fact that no one can punch you, or no one will punch you in the face. You can always change things later. And that is courtesy, of course, of Ryan K. Parker. And I want to show you something here. Here's the original clip. And it's a little bassy.
No one will punch you in the face.
That, of course, Ryan K. Parker from foodcraftsman.com. One of the ways you can make things, clean things up. A lot of people think, oh, I just need to jack up the treble on this, right? All the high end. No, another way to do this is to take out some of the bass. Let me do that, and here's the original version.
No one will punch you in the face.
And here's the cleaned up version.
No one will punch you in the face.
Now, speaking of that, if you go to schoolofpodcasting.com/punch shirt. So schoolofpodcasting.com/punch shirt. Ryan K. Parker was really cool. I got to go to dinner with Ryan. I was doing some training up in Troy, Michigan, and I know that Ryan lives up in that region. I said, hey, buddy, I'm going to be up there. Why don't we do, I was there for 2 days doing training. I said, why don't we go to dinner or something? Kind of announced it, see if anybody else was up in that region. Apparently not, but hey, it was cool hanging out with Ryan. The guy's you're going to attract people that are probably just like you. So we're swapping apps and all sorts of fun stuff. And he said that somebody told him, you should put that on a t-shirt. And so he did. And I've bought mine already. He's using Teespring for this. Now, if you want to make T-shirts on your own, go to schoolofpodcasting.com/Teespring. But it's $20, and it's a pretty cool little logo. And, you know, it's I just like it because it's I don't know. It just goes along with the whole thing we're doing here. But, yeah, check it out. It's schoolofpodcasting.com/punch shirt. It says, "No one will punch you in the face. Keep on podcasting." It has a big old fist on it. So very good job, Mr. Ryan. And get yours today. Speaking of not knowing what I didn't know, there are a bunch of new businesses popping up around podcasting. Of course, my buddy Ben Kruger, Small Business Podcasting, has a service where they will do everything for you. They basically, all you do is you record the content. They do it. They will edit out ums. They will put in music. They will write your show notes. They do it. You record it and they do everything else. And it's $6.97 a month. I see there's another service from a guy that just calls himself the show notes guy. And if you do a 30-minute show, he will charge you $200 a month. And here's the joy of the competition, right? Podcasting Press, now I don't think they edit out ums and you knows, will assemble your weekly show for $97 a month. That's for four shows. So that's interesting. But there's a new one. This is at channelhank.com. He will create a single-page media kit for $25. So you're going to need to know your stats. You're going to need to know the breakdown of your audience or whatever it is you're going to be putting into your media kit. But I was showing this on the Ask the Podcast Coach show and got the audience's response. And they said, you know, if you're completely new to any kind of desktop publishing, you don't know Microsoft Word, or if you just want somebody else to do it, maybe you don't have the time to put it together. It's a bit of a template, but it doesn't look horrible. And it's going to be interesting to see as podcasting becomes more and more popular, more and more services are going to be coming out to help people grow their audience, to have better sounding podcasts, to reach more of their audience and things of that nature. And the other thing, of course, that's going to be coming out is more and more people teaching people how to podcast. That's those people I lovely refer to as competition. And I just want to let you know that you can't. I do have a partner program for the School of Podcasting. I mean, I think there's like a new course coming out on the hour at this point. And I would say this, like somebody came out with one and they had no about page. Like there was no like, who am I learning from? And what was interesting is they asked me to like, can you give me a quote to kind of like, it was weird. I'm not sure how I feel about that because A, well, you're kind of my competition. And they kind of said, oh no, I'm completely different audience. I'm going after people who want a podcast. And I'm like, okay. So look at the about page. Make sure they have a podcast. That sounds kind of weird. I mean, I wouldn't hire like, let's say I own a horse. I don't know that I would hire a jockey who had never ridden a horse. That's just me. But anyway, if you've been thinking of starting a podcast course, here's an easier way to do it. Let me tell you, really, I love the School of Podcasting. I love working with brand new podcasters. I love working with small businesses. I love working with everybody. And it's that passion of helping that I have. It's in my DNA as a teacher. That's what I do during the days. I help people understand technology. I teach a lot of Microsoft Office stuff. And so, but if you're thinking of starting a membership site, here's some things you have to look forward to. Number one, recreating videos every time a new software comes out. Thank you, PowerPress. And which in the WordPress world is like daily. Helping people retrieve their password again. Or let's just put it this way. One word, PayPal. Oh, that's a party. Or here's another fun one. Phone calls from people who are blind to the idea of time zones. If you're weird like me and put your phone number on your website. And, of course, the joy of working with computers, meaning it works on your computer. I don't know why it doesn't work on yours. Well, you can earn a reoccurring income by partnering with the School of Podcasting. When you refer a person to the School of Podcasting and they join using your link. So you get your very own link. You earn a commission for the first month that they sign up, and the second month that they're still signed up, and the third month, and the fourth month, and the fifth month. Now, I'm using a program called JVZoo for this, which stands for Junior Varsity, but that's not it. Maybe that is. I don't know. Anyway, they put a few steps into becoming an affiliate, including you actually have a code sent to your phone. You're like, really? I got to put in my phone number? What this does, it ensures that you're a real person and you're not just a spam bot. I don't want a bunch of spam bots promoting my stuff. I want real people. I want people with an understanding of podcasting to promote the website. And I'll have a video at schoolofpodcasting.com/463 that shows you how to sign up for that. So if you're a person that's like, man, I love your show, Dave, I tell everybody about you. You know what? I deeply, deeply, deeply appreciate that. And I would love to share the love. You know, send them to me via your affiliate link. And if they sign up, you know, you get some gas money. You get enough people coming, you get a little more than gas money. So check that out, schoolofpodcasting.com/partners. Well, unless you've lived under a rock, everybody's a buzz. Everyone's a flutter about Spotify. I know I am. Podcasting has come to Spotify. Now, like, what is Spotify? It's a really cool music service that I know I can find just about any song ever. Like, if you're trying to find that obscure Striper song from the 80s, yeah, it's in there. If you're trying to find that Crocus album from the 80s, or the fact that, hey, who knew Crocus had a new album out? Crocus was a metal band in the 80s. From Switzerland, I think it was. And I would try to sing Crocus right now, but it ain't happening. That guy had a seriously high voice. So Spotify is very, very cool. And now they've added podcasting. So they're like, look, you know what? There's more to life than music. And so they're bringing in a few select podcasts, one of which is this one, which is kind of cool. And during this initial launch, it's only going to be available to about 1% of the Spotify customers, and it's only in a few countries. And, you know, that's good news. And I know some people are kind of bummed that they didn't just fling the doors wide open. I'm kind of like, and you might say, well, of course you're happy with that. You're in it. Well, not all my shows, just this one. But I do understand that there are, this isn't 2006, there are a lot of podcasts now. And I like the fact that they're slowly letting people in. And by doing so, they make sure their service can handle the traffic and that it's not going to break their system. I think that's smart. And Spotify is going to be handling the bandwidth. So, meaning when you listen to this show in Spotify, it won't be coming from Libsyn. It'll be coming from Spotify. They're actually going to host the file. And this does mean you're going to have to check your stats in multiple places. If you're using Libsyn, which is how I got into Spotify, there'll be a special section to check your stats just from Spotify, which is kind of cool. And if you're thinking, cool, this is where I'm finally going to make money with Spotify, no, it's not. This is a growth opportunity. Are they going to run advertising against my show? Probably. Do I care? No, not really. I don't. For my show, I don't care, because my show mentions the School of Podcasting and I want you to start a podcast. So yeah, this show is used as a lead generator. That's, I don't know if you knew that or not, behind the scenes. I'm just trying to get you to sign up for the School of Podcasting. Shh. So that's the key here. And so this website helps me get more consulting. So I help people get off a feed burner. It helps get me members for my website. So yeah, if you want to throw an ad in front of that, that's fine, because this podcast brings me clients. You can share my free material. I should say that my free material any way you want, as long as it, you know, as long as you point back to the School of Podcasting. And again, if you're going to point back to the School of Podcasting, why not sign up and be an affiliate? You know, it's the same way that I didn't mind if I was on Stitcher. I don't mind that I'm on iHeartRadio spreading my message. I don't have a problem, you know, being on Spotify. Now, here are some Spotify fun facts. You ready? The average listener on Spotify listens to how many minutes every day? Think about that. You got an answer? Did you guess 148 minutes? Yeah, 104, over 2 hours, 2 hours and 28 minutes every day. The average listener is on Spotify. Our listeners share tracks. This is from their website. They share artists, albums, and playlists. Two-thirds of that sharing extends beyond Spotify, spreading into social networks. That's cool. But what does that show again? That's the stuff that's remarkable. Oh, did you hear the new Crocus song? Oh, my gosh. And off they share it. Our mobile audience has grown dramatically in the last year, so more people take us more places, and you have more ways to reach them. So how many people are over at Spotify? 75 million. 15 of those are paying subscribers, and it says there are over 60 million active users. So I said 60 and 15. I'm not sure how that works. Active. Okay, let's go that route. Maybe I misspoke. Active users, 60 million. Of those, paying subscribers are 15 million. I'm not sure exactly how that works out. Ratio of paying subscribers to active free users, over 20%. Revenue paid to rights holders since the launch, 2 billion. Number of songs, over 300 million. Number of songs added per day, 20,000. Number of playlists, over 1.5 billion created so far. And it's available in 58 markets. So I'm excited about Spotify. We're going to have to be a little patient to get your stuff in there, but it's on the way. The other thing is, with Spotify taking this jump, it ups the game for places like Pandora and other music streaming services. And this is not a secret. They want us to bring our audience so they can put advertising in front of them. Unless you think they're doing it for some sort of, like, they just want to help podcasters. No, they want to make money. And we're going to bring an audience. We're going to give people a reason to check out Spotify, because right now, Spotify has this, Pandora doesn't. And I'm hoping, because as much as you read those stats from Edison Research, Pandora is rocking the world. And if we could get our podcast into that, that would be really, really cool. Not that Spotify isn't really, really cool. It's awesome. But it's gonna be interesting to see now that it's kind of like watching a game of chess. You know, they also added video. So Spotify is kind of pulled up on the backyard of Google on YouTube, and they're bringing in podcasts going, all right, we've got music, we got talk, we got video. What do you got? So it's pretty cool from a strategic point of view. And again, this is an opportunity to grow your show, not so much monetize, but it'll be fun to watch. This last week, after I had dinner with Ryan Parker, it was a great night. At dinner with Ryan, watched the Cleveland Cavaliers win game two in basketball. And then it was good and sad in a way. I watched the final episode of David Letterman. And when I was listening to Dan talking about things he loved with his brothers, when I was in my 20s, I had graduated from high school. I was making about $9.20. This is like in 85. And I moved in with my brother into his house. It was our bachelor pad. And then my stupid brother went and got married. But we would stay up and watch Letterman. This is back when he was on at 12:30 after Johnny Carson. And we would stay up because I worked like 1 to 9. What a great shift. And it was a fun time and a special time with me and my brother. We both would just laugh. So when I watched the last Letterman show, I kind of watched a chapter of my life closed. And except for reruns, I'm not going to see that again. And I thought it was really cool that Letterman constantly pointed to his staff and said, no, it's not me. It's the ad libs, though, from his desk with no writer around that made me laugh. So here's some interesting stats from David Letterman. In the 1970s, he was a weatherman, and he received some attention for his unpredictable on-air behavior, which included congratulating a tropical storm for being upgraded to a hurricane and predicting hailstones the size the size of canned hams. So when I hear that, right, hailstones the size of canned hams, that is David Letterman. And his first show was in the morning. It was in 1980. And he actually won two Emmys for that. So it was critically acclaimed, but it failed in the ratings. I don't think that, you know, the people at home at the time got him. And so he was canceled. But here's the thing. NBC, the network at the time, kept him under contract because they knew he had talent. They just needed to find the right vehicle. And then in 1982, Late Night with David Letterman, the show was launched. That's what I was watching back in the day. Now, he did things. Here's the beauty of it. His hero was Johnny Carson. Johnny Carson inspired him. And aside from having a band and a desk and a monologue, that was about where it ended. He did things like he mounted cameras to his dog. You may remember the monkey cam. He put a camera. He just kept putting cameras on everything. And, you know, as he would go into the commercial, they would turn on the monkey cam. This monkey would just go bailing through the studio. He had at one point a rail over the audience, like a roller coaster. And you would just see this barreling down over the audience. He once used a bullhorn to interrupt a live interview on the Today Show, announcing that he was the NBC News president and that he wasn't wearing pants. Okay, so this is nothing like Johnny Carson. He did his own thing. And one of the things, to me, that I think the audience got was behind the scenes, Letterman was kind of going, I can't believe I have a network show. And I can't believe they're going to let me throw watermelons off the roof. I can't believe they're going to let me, you know, do all this. I'm going to make a suit out of Velcro and I'm going to run and jump against a wall and see if I stick. And that was kind of the inside joke between his audience and him. Now, in 1993, he moved to CBS. And the bad news is the show wasn't just like his old one. And it was geared to be maybe a little wider market reaching. And so he basically got rid of his trademark blazer with khaki pants and white wrestling shoes in favor of, you know, expensive shoes, tailored suits, and light-colored socks. The monologue was lengthened, which was kind of a bummer because it cut out things like, I remember he had a running gag of a guy that lived under the stairs, and it was Chris Elliott. So the monologue was lengthened. I knew we were in for trouble when Paul Schaefer, which used to be the world's most dangerous band, was now rebranded the CBS Orchestra. I'm like, I don't want to listen to an orchestra. I want to listen to the world's most dangerous band. And so it was kind of like it was Dave, but they kind of tweaked it. There were some weird things, like he couldn't do a top 10 list, so he fixed it by doing a late show top 10. And what used to be viewer mail was now CBS mailbag, which, what can we learn from that? Own your stuff so you can do whatever you want with it. I thought that was kind of weird. And in the process, though, right, Jay Leno takes over the night, the Tonight Show. And by just tweaking his formula a little bit, he lost nearly half his audience during that competition with Jay Leno. Then, in 2000, he had quadruple bypass surgery, and he had to step away from the show and allow others to guest host it. And I've heard different interviews on the Howard Stern Show about people who've worked on Letterman. I've heard Howard interview David Letterman. And basically, in a nutshell, and I'm summarizing here, he wasn't quite so much the tyrant when he came back after his surgery. He just sounded like he wasn't a lot of fun to work with. He wanted people to put in insane hours everything had to be his way. And it sounded like he kind of came back from surgery. When you almost die, it tends to maybe change you a little bit. And so, you know, he's always been popular. He's been doing his show for 33 years. And the final episode of The Late Show with David Letterman was watched by 13.76 million viewers. Now think about this. Like, the average podcast gets about 200 downloads. 13.76 million. Not thousand. Million. And I thought it was really cool that he spent most of that final night again thanking his audience. In fact, what can we learn from David Letterman? Well, you know, I think we can learn like six or seven things here. Number one, he was humble. He really doesn't handle compliments very well. And every guest would come out and go, "Dave, I know you don't like this, but just give me a second. You know, because of this, because of that." Norm MacDonald actually broke into tears because he saw David Letterman when he was 13. So these people are like, "No, you just shut up and let me tell you how great you are." But he was humble. Number two, his irrelevance for the same old, it made him stand out. Letterman stood out because he wasn't Johnny Carson. He wasn't trying to be Johnny Carson. He took kind of the format, blended it into something that was completely different. And when he did the suit of Velcro or the suit of Seltzer, everybody was going into work the next day going, "Did you watch Letterman?" You know, we all kind of thought, "I can't believe he's doing this on network television." And that, to me, is something we can learn from. He wasn't asking the same six questions. It was different. And then part of it is, he's Letterman. Nobody's going to say hailstones the size of canned hams. That's just Letterman being Letterman. And you can't do that. You can try, but it's going to be hard. Letterman is Letterman. So, the other thing we should learn from David Letterman, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I knew, like I said, when I tuned in and heard that the world's most dangerous band was now the CBS Orchestra and that they added a horn section, I was like, they're trying to be Carson. I thought that was kind of a bummer. Number four, if you provide good content consistently, you become part of your people's, your audience's, become part of their routine, because people don't like to interrupt their routine. As a trainer, I can tell you people hate change. And if you don't believe me, if you're on Windows 7, go get on a machine that's on Windows 8. People hate change, myself included on that. And, you know, Letterman was my routine. Even if I didn't watch it, I just knew he was there. It was always there. If I wanted to watch, I could go watch Dave. Number five, comparing yourself to others is not a great use of your time. You need to be you. And so I think during that time when he was losing in the ratings, I had heard through different interviews that he was really obsessed with The Tonight Show. He should have just started being more Dave instead of trying to beat The Tonight Show. And I fall into this trap. I can easily fall into this trap. When I see, here's another podcast, you know, course. Here's another podcast course. Here's another one. And I'm like, oh man, it's getting crowded in here. Oh, I got to quit. Look, that's not looking at other people. Isn't going to help me bring you the best content there is. Now I have joined other podcast courses because I want to see what you guys ready for a buzz phrase in teaching, what their onboarding is like. That means what was it like to go through the process? So I will do that occasionally, which is always kind of weird. Like basically taking the competitions class, but I'm always very quiet. I'm always very respectful. I don't go over and, you know, but it's not something I do a lot, but, I can fall into that trap. I can say, oh my gosh, all these people, they're going to take my, no. So the other thing we can learn from Letterman here, again, own your stuff. So if you're on a network or something like that, if they say we want to have the rights to do whatever we want with your content, hey, as long as you get to do whatever you want with your content, you know, it's up to you, but just make sure that you own the name, you own the bits, things like that. So that if you do want to leave, You can. The number, whatever we're on, 7, 6, whatever, for those of you keeping track at home, it's all about relationships. When you provide good content, people will go to bat for you. And I thought was interesting, the story he told, the band The Foo Fighters, one of my faves, by the way, love me some Dave Grohl. He was coming back from surgery, and their song Everlong, I guess, really was like his theme song through his recovery from open heart surgery, basically. And he said, I would like you to be on the show when I come back. And his assistant said, oh, we contacted them. They're on a tour of South America. And Dave said, oh, that's a shame. And they said, that's all right. They're canceling the tour. Now, that takes money right out of their pocket. The only way musicians make money now is by going on tour. But they said, we will cancel to come back because there were huge David Letterman fans. And we will come back for that show when you come back from surgery. Now, that cost them money, but they were then asked back again and again. And anytime they came back, anytime they came out with an album, they got to come on to the Letterman show. And in fact, they got to come back one more time on the last show in front of 13.76 people. And they provided the soundtrack to the last minutes of his show while they're doing this extremely fast montage. It was basically, you know, the Foo Fighters were the background for that. They are part of history now. As the last thing you heard on the Letterman show was the Foo Fighters. And when Howard Stern made his last appearance on the Letterman show, he was really mad at Dave because Dave had been talking with what Howard felt was his arch nemesis, which was Jay Leno. Now, Jay Leno did some, depending on who you read, not so cool things to get the Tonight Show. But before there was the Tonight Show, there was Dave and Jay. And they go way back. They were good friends. And that's why it was so painful. But now, Jay's not doing the Tonight Show. And Dave's not doing his show. And there are things that are more important than ratings. And those are friends. And so, yeah, David Letterman and Jay Leno are kind of hanging out. Because think about it. They're the only two people that have things in common of what it's like to have a network show and be famous and be a comedian. They have a lot in common. So Dave has moved on any kind of feelings he had for Jay. And for a guy that did some pretty immature stunts on his show, that's a pretty mature move. And so to me, it is all about relationships. Those are some things that we can learn from David Letterman. So I keep saying this. I'm waiting to see what is the next show that's going to come out of the box, that's going to think outside the box. You know, I always mention John Lee Dumas. He thought outside the box when he started a daily show. That's not new anymore. I actually heard a podcast saying that they were going to start releasing shows twice a day. That's outside the box. Is it going to work? Maybe if it's a minute show, I don't know. It'll be interesting. And I forget who it was, but I'm like, kudos for thinking outside the box. It is different, but we'll see. I'm looking for, the next Letterman, I guess you could say. And as I watch the show, it dawns on me how much he's kind of rubbed off on me. Like, if you go back to one of my early shows, yeah, this is episode number 3 from October 24th, 2005. I remember this starts off with a bell. Let me fade this in. Here we go.
Hello, everyone. I thought I'd show you guys you've heard of David Letterman's stupid human tricks. Well, this is a stupid human trick. I'm not forcing my voice this low. But if you wanted a cool, deep voice, there's an easy way to do it. I just rolled out of bed. These are the first words I'm saying today, which is a really weird way to start off the morning. But it does. I mean, if I wanted to force my voice low, I could, Luke, I am your father. So there's, you know, if you don't like your speaking voice, one of the ways you can get your voice deeper without really sounding it forced is to simply broadcast in the morning. Now, of course, the longer I talk, the more my voice will wake up or whatever it does with your vocal cords. It'll come back to normal. But I wanted to just record a couple of sentences here. I'm going to go get something to drink, get the morning coffee, let the dog out, that whole nine yards. But it's a stupid podcaster trick. And another point about, the DJ voice guy. You know, a lot of people think you have to talk in a cool DJ voice. There is a reason why people like podcasting so much is because it doesn't sound like the radio. You know, it's real. It's like I'm sitting here talking to you. And, I just said that. And nobody would do that on real radio. They're used to just letting silence go. But so today's stupid human trick in podcasting, broadcast right out of bed. Have your show notes ready to go and just hit record as soon as you get out of bed. But there is one thing. I have to pee really bad now.
Okay. Oh, wait, here's the old announcer guy. This is what the show used to sound like.
It's the School of Podcasting's morning announcements. Here's Dave Jackson.
I love that guy's voice back in the day.
Holy, was somebody choking him while he said that? I don't know. So, yeah, Letterman has been an influence. When I think about things like Binky and the Wiz and my little thing I did on storytelling, and I called it Dinner. I need to find that, what episode that was. And anytime I do anything, when I interviewed the patent troll, or the guy, or just the internet troll, anything that's a little wacky, I look back and go, that's kind of a Letterman thing. Maybe you have a little bit of Letterman in you. Maybe there's something that you've thought about doing, and maybe you're like, Dave, you said if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Well, how are your numbers? How are you going to know if it doesn't work unless you try it? Because if people hate it, they'll let you know. Oh, trust me, they'll let you know. So, thank you, David Letterman. And thank you for listening. That is going to do it. I should say one thing here before we head out the door. I have apparently explained this to a point that is shooting myself in the foot. And I always say, you know, I talk about the quick start plan, where if you don't have a website, send me an email with the phrase quick start. I will send you a link to order hosting. I earn a commission. I will then install WordPress for you and give you a month at the School of Podcasting. It's a cool plan. I earn a commission. You get a free month at the School of Podcasting. All I have to do is order hosting for your website. I've had people say, I was going to join your site, but I already have a website. Ugh, really? That's not the only way. You can just join the School of Podcasting. There's a button that you click on and you just have to pay for it. Now, here's the cool thing. There's a coupon. Listener, LISTENER, will get you in at a reduced rate. So, yes, if you've ever thought, oh, I was going to join, but I already have a website. No, that's just for people who don't. It's a way I figured out it's a win-win. But if you already have a website, again, you don't know what you don't know. And I don't mention this enough. There's a 30-day money-back guarantee. If you join the School of Podcasting and you go, there's not really any, I knew all this stuff. Thanks anyway. Okay, I'll give you your money back. If you've been worried about it, you can get your money back. I've offered that for 10 years and haven't done it yet. So thanks so much for listening. And you can join the School of Podcasting any way you want. And if you have any questions, you can reach me, schoolofpodcasting.com/contact. And I look forward to seeing you on the inside. Until then, class is dismissed. Take care and God bless.
No one will punch you in the face if you come back 6 weeks from now or a year from now and start podcasting again. You may have a little bigger hill to climb because your numbers may not be the same as they were when you stopped. But so what?